Super awkward fun cast. You're listening to the super awkward fun cast. Yeah.
Welcome to the 6th anniversary episode. We made it 6 years with this shit. The super awkward fun cast with Al Latham and returning guest.
Hi.
Steven Robles.
That's fine.
Who's one of the newer
guests. I've been doing this 3 years.
But compared to Steve, who was our second guest.
He's OG, though.
He's OG. OG Steve.
I'm just like baked into the walls. OG.
Yeah.
Steve Kaufman. Yes.
You got two Steves today.
Steve.
Yeah, this is going to be... So do we just fight for supremacy over who these Steve?
Oh, I'm older.
I'm
older
two?
Than you. I know that.
Steve,
way older than you.
Steve supremacy.
Seniority. I'm a senior, so it's about a senior citizen. So I can't.
Anyways, so we started this show on June 30th, 2013, but we have been alive before that, in the form of the web show and then the stage show, which we talked about a little bit in the first episode. Hopefully you guys are all aware of what happened in the first episode, because I'm not going to do a recap.
You're not going to do a recap of a whole 6 years?
No, and what's happened since. So we've gotten a tiny bit more serious over the years, I think. And, you know, but life's gotten serious, so we have to go
with
it.
I don't know how you qualify serious.
Serious topics, more so. Yeah. Not like pop culture all the time, but sometimes political stuff that gets people all worked up.
I guess political.
Like Antifa, like we've talked about.
I don't think you know how deep Elle goes into conspiracy theories. Like, really, really deep. Like,
I'm friends with her on Facebook.
Oh,
right,
so
now.
You know.
I'm
friend,
I'm aware.
Not anymore.
Wow.
No, because I'm not on Facebook anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how deep
I disabled my account eventually.
So,
that's
I mean,
how
it's going to be deleted
goes.
In about 2 years.
You want to know
after they've sucked all the data dry.
You want to know my favorite conspiracy theory that Elle has?
Yes.
Do you know what the anniversary is coming up this year? A big anniversary in the history of humanity.
In the history of humanity?
Yeah. 50 years since...
Lincoln's dog.
No.
Okay.
Since we landed on the moon. So some of us believe, and some of us don't.
I don't have enough evidence to prove one way or the other.
There you go. That's my favorite.
For that specific
like
event.
Buzz Aldrin punched somebody in the face because they didn't think he went to the moon.
And it's okay to punch people in the face if you don't believe what they say.
I believe we went to the moon. I also believe the government is both deceptive and secretive enough. The problem is they're also incompetent enough that the moon conspiracy theory as one is too massive a conspiracy theory. That I can't give my government enough trust to have had kept that from everyone for so long. Like, that feels... That's
yeah,
like
somebody
that,
would have squealed.
That, that's like telling me the NFL is rigged. And I'm like, there's 60 athletes on each roster, and then like 1,000 people, and then there's 32 teams. Like, 1,000 people working in the office for a team, and then there's 32 teams. Like, I'm not saying the NFL isn't rigged or couldn't be rigged. I'm saying that's highly improbable that many people would keep a secret.
No, you're right. I mean, there's still point shaving, things that go on, organized crime, NCAA especially, but yeah, you're right. I mean, there's no way, like, boxing might be.
Boxing is rigged.
Boxing is
it's, like, outwardly rigged.
Provenly.
Like if you,
proven.
Have you watched, like, I've seen, if, like, if you see coverage for boxing and they're talking about, like, a championship fight in Nevada, they'll straight up say, well, the challenger.
I forgot to turn something off. Go on.
Okay.
Bye. Oh, I can touch the bear now.
Well, the challenger really needs to step up and knock the champion out, because if they don't, it's going to go to the scorecards and they're going to lose. Like, that's how you cover every boxing match ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's so beyond a conspiracy
no,
with boxing.
I mean,
no.
In any movies that involve boxers, you know, at some point somebody's like, you're toeing this fight, boy. You're toeing this fight. You're gonna get going down around five is covering the spread, boy.
My favorite part of the conspiracy theory of we didn't land on the moon being somebody who doesn't...
No, see, that's what happened. She told me that. I was like, I could not stop laughing at
her. It's our show. Let's go.
It's fine.
But, like, the first time or whatever. My favorite part of it, and I can't even figure out how it got... Well, I guess I can, because people like movies, and people want to believe that movies are very much the same as real life, and that effects are crazy in whatever. But the 2001 A Space Odyssey movie is very brilliant, but I'm not sure if I believe that Stanley Kubrick directed the moon landing. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I just don't know if I believe that.
I think
I thought
you
were
need more evidence to show
I thought
me
you were
going to
jump into another conspiracy theory
no.
that Stanley Kubrick's trash. Like, I don't believe that Stanley Kubrick directed 2001 A Space Odyssey. I'm like, I want to hear this one. Tell me about this
that
one.
That was the NASA.
That's actually Buzz
that
Aldrin.
That was actually
Buzz
NASA.
Buzz Aldrin is actually an auteur.
Yeah, he directed 2001.
It was right in your face, the propaganda.
I think that Stanley Kubrick enjoyed that people thought he did. And enjoyed,
sure,
like,
and,
seeing
and the
that.
Whole conspiracy theories around his death and everything.
Yeah, I think he...
Like,
think,
I'm sure that he just got a real kick out of that.
He seems
in
like
death,
the kind of guy that
like,
would,
in
yeah.
his grave, like...
I think there are a lot
that's
of guys
a good one.
Like Stanley Kubrick or Andy Kaufman or... I have other examples, but... people who... There are a lot of conspiracy theories and rumors around.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis, to a certain extent, too.
Oh, my gosh.
But
so
they
many.
Didn't.
Tupac.
To, but like, but they think so highly of themselves and their image and their shtick to a certain extent that part of the reason these things persisted is that they never denied them when they had the chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reason we think Andy Kaufman might still be alive is because when he was alive, he told people, like, wouldn't it be funny if I faked my death?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I came back 10 years later, it would be hysterical.
But he lives forever.
And he gets to live forever, and that's, I think, ultimately
in that
what
legacy.
He wants. But then people get to walk around and be wrong, where I'm like, I'm pretty sure he died.
Is that your favorite fake death? Is that your favorite might still be alive? Because my favorite is Jim Morrison.
Elvis is my favorite.
See, I believe Jim Morrison and Elvis.
Tupac
I
is
still alive.
Is a more.
I saw
one.
Tupac's dead body. That motherfucker.
There was
dead.
A whole fucking thing on Instagram where they were saying this guy was Tupac, and it went way further
than
it should
have. I was actually in Vegas when he got killed. I was right above the crime scene.
You're serious?
Yeah, and we were in the hotel above the crime scene, and we were going to go down because there was a Mike Tyson fight in the MGM Grand. And I was like, let's go in there and see if there's any celebrities.
Exclusive.
And, like, and my friend's like, no, let's just hang out in the hotel room. Like, this is crowded. We'll wait until everything clears up. And then we were looking down the window. We heard, like, a commotion outside. And we looked out, and the intersection was, like, suddenly becoming swarmed. People were running away.
Yeah.
And the cops were swarming in. And we were like, what the fuck's that? So we turned the TV on the hotel, and it's like Tupac was shot, like, right below us. And I was like, holy crap.
And you were high up enough that you couldn't hear gunshots.
We just heard commotion.
Yeah.
Because we had a balcony. The door was open.
Yeah.
So you could
wow.
hear it. And
how have you never said that until now?
I did. I told you that on this show. On this show.
I must not have recalled.
He's going to give you an episode number and a time code.
Yeah. No, I don't even remember. So we were up there, and I was
it's
like, holy crap.
Remember.
Like, Tupac's killed. And everybody in the MGM Grand had to stay in there the whole night. So I'm like, good thing we didn't go in there.
What is it with
there.
The MGM Grand and shootings?
Oh, that's just where the boxing was. I don't know.
Mm,
what
okay.
Yeah.
And the shooting was outside on the street. So
that's it. The me that likes to stay in cheaper establishments in Las Vegas and then walk to the Strip has seen that street many a time.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things that, like, I'm just walking to Caesars because that's where I want to be, and I'm staying at the Tuscany.
That's your favorite. Caesars.
No, that's where last time I was there, I was working at Caesars. I actually don't like Caesars.
No, what are you doing there?
It's so opulent and annoying, and like.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's like a theme park. Like,
are you talking about Vegas or Caesars?
Caesars.
Okay, Caesars is a lot.
Some of Vegas is okay.
They also
like
don't. They also don't pay their blackjacks right, and you'll never find a $5 table. That's why I won't fuck with Caesars. I
gotta go off strip tag. $5.
The Golden Nugget's pretty cool. For like slots
stuff. Yeah.
And stuff.
I like Fitzgerald's off this trip. I don't know if it's still there or not.
Ooh, that's a pull.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to win there all the time, and it had $2 blackjack, and it was like, go on Fitzgerald's.
Old Vegas.
Well, because right by Fitzgerald's is there used to be a casino that was like tropical themed. I don't remember what it was called. But that's where I had a deep fried Twinkie for the first time.
It wasn't the Tropicana.
No. It was like inside the Fremont area like that.
Oh, I know this. Oh, I know this spot. I don't think it's there anymore.
So what are you doing at Caesars?
There was a pro wrestling convention called StarCast. There was their second one, and then their third one's going to be in Chicago, and I'm going to be there. I was working. It was weird because I just kind of had I work pretty closely with a lot of the people that are involved in that show, and I just kind of texted someone. I was like, "Hey, can I like come out to StarCast and like help?"
Yeah, you need anything? I want to hang out. Yeah,
yeah, like it's I don't ever need much of an excuse to go to Las Vegas, and they were like, "Sure." And then within like a day or two, it was like, "So StarCast 3 in Chicago, you're coming, right?" And I'm like, "Yes."
That's cool.
It's like the first one's free, y'all.
How did we get from the moon landing to Vegas?
It's all
you roll, you roll with this. You roll with this crew.
There is no. There should be a moon themed casino. A astronomy themed casino would be kind of fun.
Like there are
like a giant telescope you could look through. And like,
maybe it's because I came up through theme parks. I don't think that I think the theming in casinos isn't as hardcore as it could be. Like New York does it right, and everything else, and like Caesars for all I don't like about just a massive complex like that, like Caesars does it right where it feels like a theme.
Yeah. It is
like,
definitely themed.
But like the Tropicana just kind of like the outside is just a giant white building, and then the inside is like the theme doesn't.
Yeah, the carpet is blue.
Yeah, like the theme doesn't translate to every casino that some casinos could really.
Excalibur, that's a good one.
That's a good one, but then that's they haven't updated it in like 30 years.
Mm. Well, they have jousting and stuff inside.
They do. I have yet to do the King of Kings, but
the best buffet, the best cheap buffet on the strip.
Is Excalibur?
Excalibur. No, they're the best food.
I can't enjoy the buffets. See, being a vegan in Vegas is just kind
of... They probably have a lot of stuff now because it's such a huge Asian population that goes there. You could easily find vegan food there because they don't eat meat either.
Well, and that the buffets are so massive that... I don't want to speak for them, but I'm pretty sure the buffets are so massive in Las Vegas that you could totally find many portions of them that have the stuff you want.
Cobble something together.
The thing is, it's like not as readily available, so it's not like you're gorging yourself on vegan food.
True.
Which is what a vegan buffet would be, which would be really cool.
I bet you could find one now. I bet you went there, you could find it in just a specific vegan buffet there.
That'd be cool.
I bet you could.
I like the vegan donuts that I had there.
Mm.
Fremont. Wait, was it Fremont? Whatever.
Probably.
That's where
I know the place. They're in San Diego.
Oh, donuts.
Too.
Or something. Oh, Face Donuts.
Yes. Face donuts.
I'm sorry, that exists. Or it did at one point.
There's
I don't
Randy's
know if it
donuts
exists
up the
anymore.
Street. Have you seen that?
Yes, the brand new
Randy's.
Arch,
the donut arch.
Like, because the Randy's was iconic for LA, but most tourists
now
come to Hollywood. So Randy's decided to just set themselves up in Hollywood.
Because Randy's is up like LAX, right? Like
they're
no one goes there. Except people that don't live in LA.
It's
you big dummy.
It's actually funny you mentioned veganism in Las Vegas. I had this grand scheme that felt too dishonest, so I didn't do it, but I really should have done it, which is I wanted to come up with a pretty much just restaurant guide of restaurants in Las Vegas I like to eat, but call it the Las Vegan Guide. The Las Vegan Restaurant Guide.
That makes sense.
Because the word vegan would be in the title, so people would buy it assuming it's vegan restaurants in
Las
Vegas.
Vegan.
I like that.
Yeah, like that it's that.
That's probably taken, but yeah.
But it's like it's not. I checked.
These people are stupid.
It's still a scam I could pull.
Creativity.
You could.
But in my mind, like you write the ebook in like a day, and then you sell it for like a dollar, and then 1,000 people.
It's
buy
not
it
a scam
in a month,
though. Like it's literally what. What you would call a Las Vegas person.
A locals guide. Like it's essentially a locals guide to Las Vegas cuisine, but you call it the Las Vegans guide.
And then show all the buffets in there. That's
well, it's
still
gonna be a lot of steakhouses, a lot of stuff that's not vegan.
That's not the idea. You cut me in, I'll design that.
I like that.
Okay.
And we'll put
as
it on
a
Amazon
vegan, I can support this.
Yeah, she's fine with it.
But like you're okay with hoodwinking people? Because that's what it is. The
I
whole
don't
point.
Give, Vegas is hoodwinking people. I don't give a shit. Like
that's the whole point of Las Vegas.
If it's an ebook, it's a dollar.
Look, we're in Donald Trump's America. I make money any way I can. I follow the model of my president. And he would do that. He would have that. He would make that happen.
Trump's Las Vegan restaurant.
Yeah, in Las Vegan, and he's like, yeah, we're just not.
And he'll have all the taco bowls for everyone.
Yeah, taco bowls and McDonald's and stuff. It wouldn't even be food from the restaurant; it'd just be like a fast food that's just there.
Although if I'm involved in this project, there will be no seafood restaurants. I love seafood, but I have a very strict 200 miles inland rule.
Oh no, good.
Cool. So I had some bad shellfish at the Cosmopolitan. Yeah, I'll call them out.
Well, you can, but they farm it in Arizona, so you wouldn't be too far from there.
The mussels. There were like clams and mussels and shit that you had to get off of. Ocean.
Nah, fuck that.
Ocean seafood.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trust anybody with ocean food at this point.
I mean, you gotta if you want to eat it.
Yeah, I live in LA. I don't care what I eat. I was on the bus. Like, well,
there's
the
just
hell
so
I
much
breathe
pollution
in.
All over the.
Yeah. People
place.
Adapt, though. They adapt to it.
Yeah.
We'll grow gills at some
I mean, we have plastic in our bodies, most likely, so.
Yeah.
Little particles.
Okay.
Not a lot of
still
it.
Still alive.
Yeah.
Now you're like shit. Like my whole life, so.
So.
We look back at the host, and she's looking back at us.
And she's
like, cool.
But we got some content. No. Did you guys watch the debates?
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about
no,
it?
No, I just want to bring it up. I don't want to talk
about
it.
Let's not do a whole thing about it.
I'd like to say that, well, you guys were actually polite and stopped talking, because that's what the debate sounded like, I think.
Oh, right.
Wait, no.
See,
like, I was that little girl. T-shirts, guys.
I was on the bus.
Get that T-shirt printed. God, so disgusting.
Love, energy, sorceress.
Oh, that, no, she's the she's the Russian plant. That's the Russian thing.
They
now,
were all over Jill Stein. This chick was like right there.
They were like, holy shit, like she's the one. Like they want her so bad. And now I'm reading that conservatives have donated to her campaign so she stays in the debates. Because I hope she wins. I hope she like... Just,
dude.
I hope this... Oh my God.
She's connected to Oprah. It's just too
we're going to overcome you with love, sir.
Who are we talking about? Kamala Harris? Who are we talking about?
No, Madeline.
Marianne Williams.
She got a bit more time than I thought she deserved.
Well, they were saying that they cut off the mics. Like
yeah,
a
Andrew
lot
Yang
of people
said he got
were saying that,
off, yeah.
Including her. And I was thinking, like the other night, like they did have that debate the first night, and then they had all these mic issues and shit. What if that was them, like trying to get the mics cut off for certain people for not and not for other people?
Yeah.
And then they got caught, and they're like, "Oh, mic issues."
It sounds to me like they had.
That's
it.
Interesting.
It sounds to me like they.
There's
had
something wrong with these mics. Is all I'm saying.
Well, it sounds to me like one sound guy had to somehow figure out how to manage. If you have two moderators and then two more moderators that switch in the middle of the hour,
someone's
and then
getting
you have
fired.
10 candidates, that's 14 microphones. I can speak as a professional. That's a lot of microphones to manage on a board. That I wouldn't be shocked if.
And I wouldn't be shocked if it was not on purpose.
And
then
he was. And then he was. And he, no, I think the mistake is pretty.
I think there were a lot of issues with the mic, and that's what people are glomming onto.
The mistake could be pretty
easily made.
Even as a professional, because if you told me you're going to manage 14 microphones, probably more because there's audience microphones.
Why aren't people talking about the mic issues from the first night when they're saying because they're biased
the second,
and
well, no,
because
the second night, the second night. There's a second night, and I also think, and I went ahead and created a mic issue by kicking the table.
Yeah.
I used to pound the table.
But if you told me I had to manage 14 microphones during a live broadcast, the first thing I would do is group a bunch of those microphones and put them on one slider. So I think what happens is he put all the moderator microphones, like, in. They threw back from a commercial, and the moderators were in the crowd.
Right.
And through to the other moderators. So I think what he did was he linked the moderator microphones to the crowd microphones and then through to the moderators and then he was patching between and I didn't read up on this at all, but like just from a professional standpoint, what I think happened is he kept hearing the moderators from the crowd and kept messing with the dial that they were on before the commercial break. And didn't know what to, and like
yeah,
and it got
panicked.
And
don't
it got
you
so
think
confused because imagine regrouping 14
yeah,
microphones because
exactly.
Because like hopefully they would have given
people
him
people aren't thinking logically about it is all
like
I'm
he, hopefully they'd have given him a moder like they would have given him the moderator rundown of who gets what question so that he could be prepared for the next question is for Elizabeth Warren, so I'm gonna put Elizabeth Warren on one channel so I can manage her levels and then level everybody else out,
but then they can't do that because.
Well, and that's hard to do. Like
he could just slip out like a zillion questions. You know what I mean? Like no one's gonna. trust anybody to do that.
I just think, like, you know, people don't think logically. They go straight to whatever
Russia
they want to go to.
Yeah.
It was Russia.
Yeah, it was Russia.
Or,
Russian mics.
You know, whatever. Or they're, like, they're silencing people and stuff. Maybe they're not actually silent. Maybe there's a fucking problem with the mic, and maybe that's what
that's
should be spoken
well
about.
Problem. I also think that, and I described the first debate specifically, felt to me like there were two Lincolns and eight Kennedys.
Well, shit.
And a moderator, and like, you would hear 87. Okay, that's your time.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all, everyone up there felt brilliant and amazing, and like, if I'd seen, like, and I've heard a lot of them all individually in interviews, and I'm like, oh, you also seem like an incredible candidate and worthy of...
Some of them.
I don't know if I go that far.
Who are we gonna trash? Let's go.
Who are we gonna trash?
All of them?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, like, Kamala
Unfortunately,
Harris.
Unfortunately.
Like,
you can't stand Kamala Harris.
No, and because I remember reading when
shit.
She first entered the debate, or the nomination process, first of all, she went for the heavy money donors right out the bat. That just makes me sick. It's
true.
Like, that's just gross. Secondly, she's already been promised the electoral votes that Hillary Clinton's got, the delegate votes.
Super delegates.
It's already planned for her
mm-hmm.
how this is going to go. And I hate that shit. I hate the DNC. I hate the fact they're in charge of things. I hate that they anoint people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm Elizabeth Warren all the way. Like, that's my pick. If I had to pick a Democrat, I don't think any Democrat's going to win, honestly. I think Trump's going to win. But
he is.
But if I have to pick a Democrat, I'm picking Elizabeth Warren. Or Bernie, but I like Elizabeth Warren a lot. She seems to, like, be steady, have a good plan, like, is able to explain things to people in a ways that they can understand it, can talk. Like Trump wins because he can speak to everybody, right? But he's not saying anything, but he can speak to everybody. But Elizabeth Warren can speak to everybody, and she's saying something. And she can say, well, you don't understand that? Let me explain it this way. And they understand it. And she's like, how are we going to pay for this? This is how we're going to pay for it. This is how it's going to happen. They're going to break it down cent by cent of where the money's going to go. And this is where it's coming from. This is what we're going to do with it. This is what my plan. And like Bernie's like, all right, why don't we free college? And like, okay, well, we have that from her already, and she's already got a plan about it, and you don't.
I feel you're discounting Bernie a little. He has
he
has the plan, and
he has
the
plan to tax Wall Street.
And he does speak. He does speak to a large swath.
No, I agree with
that. In a way that people don't.
Well, he speaks to the dominant voting block, the male the male vote, and that's a huge voting block. So like, he's got that there, but he wants to tax Wall Street, which I feel has anybody been able to do anything to Wall Street ever? Like, no one's ever been able to do anything. Like, Trump thought he was going to do it too, and there's like no
he's
can't.
A snake oil salesman.
Well, but he can't. Like, no one could. Obama couldn't either. Like, nobody can penetrate. The defense of Goldman Sachs, like, there's just no way. It's so entrenched in our government, it's so like intertwined with everything they do. Like, I mean, they used the housing crisis to destroy the other banks, to destroy Bear Lehman, to destroy ING, to destroy Deutsche Bank, like, to destroy these banks and be the only ones left. So it's like, they're the ones that the Secretary of the Treasury, all the economic guys, they're all part of Goldman Sachs, all of them.
Yeah,
right. The Clintons are part of Goldman Sachs, like. They're entwined in that. Obama, his advisor, financial advisor, was Goldman Sachs. Like, it's just sick. And I think that when someone steps into office, they have plans. Like, I'm just gonna pull that guy out of there and like put my own guy in. And maybe Trump was like, I have my own money guy. Like, he's criminal. Like, I can just put him in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Goldman Sachs like, yeah, you know what? Go ahead, try to figure everything out that we've done over the past 110 years. Good luck, because we'll pull our guy out of there, and you have no idea what we've done. So good luck, and good luck crashing the economy again. Like, good luck. And, you know, like, Obama came in, you know, to TARP and had to deal with that bullshit, so.
To bring it back to the debate, I think the questions were garbage.
They are.
Well, the moderators are garbage. Like, Rachel Maddow is not.
She's a conspiracy.
Well, she's also a TV personality. She's not, like,
she'd be the first to tell you that she's a TV personality first.
Yeah.
And then a journalist. I'd say that
she's
both.
Not a
I would
journalist.
Say a journalist. I
really?
Think she's
not
more
a
like
journalist.
An anchor person where, like, journalists do her work for her, and she presents it like Jon Stewart. Like, everything Jon Stewart is a brilliant guy.
Just read off a teleprompter.
But he's got brilliant writers and researchers that feed him this information. He might know a little bit about it, but he's like a Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, something's going down in the background.
Oh, that's my right.
It's Tupac.
You know, or like Rush Limbaugh, who's like...
We're going to get shut down by the government.
You know, who's this conservative paragon, but he gets all his information from other people. And he just presents it in a way that makes people excited. But, the Mexican guy that was on the moderator, like Jose, like, he's just like
what was with all of the Spanish?
That was so dumb.
That was the most pandering I've ever seen in like 5 minutes.
Banderilla, that was.
I appreciated it, and at the same time,
as
someone who likes multiculturalism, like, I appreciated it. As someone who doesn't speak Spanish and was trying to watch the whole debate,
right?
I was very much like, No, no, absolutely speak both languages, but also, like, can we subtitle him?
Also, Cory Booker? Because
I want to be sure that his translation's the same shit.
Yeah, well, and also, there's Univision is broadcasting it, so if you want to watch a Spanish podcast... Well, because they want...
Why would they do that when there's already...
There's a Spanish broadcast who's already translated everything word for word, exactly. So it's like, if you want to watch Spanish, watch that.
Yes.
But I like the idea that he's speaking to that swath of voter, hears that swath of voter, and he understands that swath. Like,
But they're more than a swath of voters.
It's a 25-candidate field. Everything's going to be pandering until it's an 8-candidate field. So, like, I forgive him. Like, I can forgive stuff like that when it ultimately speaks to a broader...
I cannot forgive Cory Booker for his pronunciation of Spanish.
I didn't even know he was even partly Hispanic, Latino, whatever. Latin.
He was just he learned some words and he said them and he's like...
Well, even Beto O'Rourke, like, he just sounded like he was... I don't know...
He didn't sound all the way right for me either.
Everybody sounded bad, and I was like, "Why?" You know,
if you're gonna speak Spanish, do it right. You know?
Do it. That's like, but the guy Jose was talking about the people. The sad story about the kid and her dad who drowned.
Yeah, but that's propaganda. Clearly.
Well, but the kid's still dead.
They're
the
just
still
gotta,
dead, right? But
it's kind of like the Syrian photo.
But they're still
the
dead.
Kid who was not dead, who was
but
like
these
on the
people
beach.
Are dead. So. But the way Jose was telling the story, and they were crossing the river, and do you remember that? Have you heard that?
Yes, that's propaganda.
He's just like, but the way he's presenting it is so funny to me. Like, why is he talking like that? Like, why is he talking like Zorro all of a sudden? Like, that's so
weird. He was
weird.
So awkward the whole time. Like,
that's what the second night, but you didn't see any of that the second night, because they were like, no, let's just go through this. You're not going to double up your time by speaking Spanish and speaking English. We're not going to give you more time because of that, which was really my problem with it. Mm-hmm. Like, say something of substance. Don't just say the same thing twice. Like, say something of substance, let the translators handle it. Like, that's the point. So, or you can put the ACP, captions on your television and watch it in Spanish if you want to watch it in Spanish. But don't waste your time doing that. Like, I mean, I get it, but let's hear what you got to say. Let's hear more stuff.
I do think there are 9 people, let's say 8 people, because, like, Raul came off pretty well, that on the first night.
Julian.
Julian.
Yeah. Julian.
Julian Castro.
There are too many. I openly admit I'm not trying to remember everyone's name.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You don't have to.
Until after Iowa.
They don't matter.
Just remember Bernie, Kamala Harris,
don't remember
Elizabeth
any of
Warren, and Joe Biden. Those are the 4 you got to remember.
Biden's not going to make it far.
I think he will. You know,
no,
you know,
I think he's been eating it since that debate.
Well, okay,
since the torch gaffe.
Kamala's
like,
the chosen
when
one
I thought
to go
maybe
against
he...
him.
No, I thought if we're talking if the DNC is actually picking a king or a queen, I thought it was Elizabeth Warren.
Nah.
Like, I know
at
they
first
claim,
it seemed
they, claim they claim that it was random, but if we're going to put on tinfoil hat...
She got more time.
Well, she got her own night. Like,
well, yeah, in the press, they were talking about her all the time.
Imagine Coachella is 3 weekends, but Beyonce only plays one of the weekends. Which of those weekends would be the most popular? Yeah. It would be the one Beyonce's on. Like,
I get you.
That's kind of... If the DNC, like, were to stack the deck, that's how they'd do it.
Well, in the DNC, so Elizabeth Warren, like, I'm subscribed to 2 official campaign, like, informations. Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump, but just so I can see what they're doing over there. But
good luck with that.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, always interested in what both sides are doing, because I feel like both sides have something to do. They have to have a plan. So I'm interested in seeing what they're doing, because
Like North Korea today. What the fuck?
That's fine. That's cool. I mean, next time with the China, whatever. Like,
it's cool. It's fine. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like, that's a move.
Yeah,
that's
it's a big
move.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Trump is, like,
South Korea
changing
move.
The face of the presidency forever. Like, forever. Yeah. Good or bad, he's changing everything. Like, these debates are completely the way they are because of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was in there just, like, maneuvering all of them to look like fools, but they're, like, you know, I'm pissed off. Like, everybody's swearing. Everybody's cutting each other off. They're speaking to the people. They're trying, anyway. You know, so, like, he's changed that. Like, the way he uses social media... There's no president that's never going to be able to do that. You're always going to have to use social media like that.
And memes. He's
and
a memester.
And, like, you know, he's into pop culture. He's into wrestling, right? He's a big wrestling guy. And
he makes them look stupid sometimes because they go against him about the stupid shit.
Well, and he throws the pebble in the water and watches them all scramble around.
Yeah, he's waiting for
and laughs. Hands. And they're like, and they think he's a moron. And it's like, the guy's been one of the most famous people in the world for 35 years. He's made billions of dollars. He is still around, relevant, you know, and now he's president. Like, he's not a moron. He's just gonna fuck you guys up because he can manipulate. People.
He can be both a moron and everything you're saying he is.
Yeah,
he's
not a mad scientist. He's only really good at stirring shit.
Well, he's not a political person, so
yeah, like
he's not smart politically.
He's not smart mathematically. He's not smart. And pretty much pick all of the places he's not smart. The one place I would argue he has a very high level of skill is he can see, well, if I make this signal, this is the noise. And people, and if I create a signal, I can understand what the noise will be around that signal and how everyone will follow the noise and not follow the signal. Yeah. And like very few people have really been good at finding his signal versus around his noise.
He has the media wrapped around his finger.
Well, he knows how to do it. Like, one of his best friends is Vince McMahon. Like, that's one of his best friends in the world. His wife works for him. Like, Linda McMahon runs the Small Business Administration for the United States government. Like, he knows them. And, like, there's no greater manipulator of the media than Vince McMahon. And his other one of his other good friends is Howard Stern, who is another guy who's managed to stay in the spotlight number one for 35 years, almost 40 years. He's been number one in his medium. It's like, that's insanity. When you learn from those two people how to make people jump and do what you want to do, you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump already has a charisma where it's like people want to know about him. He's got the same effect Howard Stern does.
And
right?
That's partly because of the media, because they put him out there on TV all the time.
Sure.
Back in the day.
And that's the reason I haven't seen SNL since the episode. Well,
oh, you remember
thought,
the one
well,
where...
Well, first off, I thought SNL had been trash for a real long time before.
It
that.
Has been.
Like, just as...
It's like spotty.
As a sketch... Like,
since
just as a... like 90s. It's well, it's... it was funny for me to move here in 2011 to learn to write sketch comedy, and one of the first things I learned was, oh, SNL is trash. Like, SNL takes people here who learn the purity of sketch comedy, and then they distort it for whatever they do, and then because they're an established entity, they get to claim what sketch comedy is. So I'd already had my issues
with
that.
Well, it's so hierarchical there.
And then they gave time to a presidential candidate. Like, they gave a presidential candidate the host spot. Because in their mind, they're like, oh, he's a joke candidate. But at the end of the day, I'm like, you really should not be giving a presidential candidate anything more than a walk-on appearance on your show. Like, that's a line you should not cross. Yeah. So now everything they've done since
it
always
looks
came
hollow.
Off,
it's,
like,
it's not
came off
real.
Completely disingenuous to me.
Yes.
Like, you sniffed his throne when you didn't think he'd have it. And now that he has it, you're like, oh, we're real harsh on him. It's
like the people who used to, like, hang out with him at events and shit, like Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin, I'll say. Like, certain people who are celebrities who hung out with him back in the day before he was thinking about running for real. And now they're all, like, up in arms, like, oh my gosh, he's the worst, he's the worst.
Yeah, I know. And, like,
he's
the same guy. Like,
you knew the guy, so, like...
Khashoggi boat.
What the fuck? And Adnan Khashoggi, like, his connection to Adnan Khashoggi that nobody fucking brings up.
That's fascinating. And Trump fascinates me. I remember when he first came into the race, he fascinated me. Because it's like, it was almost like my version of Ronald Reagan. Like my generation's version of a celebrity who became a politician. Even though Ronald Reagan had governor experience in California and other things. I was fascinated by him. And then I just became tired of it because I'm like, I got tired of all of the subterfuge and all of this media bullshit and everybody pulling this or that and tweaking this and tweaking that and then his stupidity. And it's like, I just got tired of it.
I'm tired of the psyops. I'm tired of the cube nonsense. I'm tired of all the trolls and, you know, thinking that he's playing some 6D chess with people's lives on the line. And it's just enough already. Like, the joke's over. The punchline has been said. It's time to take a step back and see, like, what do you want from this world? And how do you think you're going to get it? Because you're not going to get it from a world leader of any kind at this point. They're not going to be working for you at this point.
I suspect that's happening. It's going to take time. I think what Trump has done as well is he's made people look harder at these kind of things. Like, people don't...
Definitely the liberals.
People never really talk about the weird positive bounce that he's having just indirectly.
Yeah.
You know, the activism, the political awareness, people like Alexandria Ocasio who are like young and experienced people, but... She's there, and she's like revealing everything, like everything she sees in the government. She puts in her Twitter, like
she's this, to the nth degree, and some people.
But that's gonna temper
calm
out.
Calm down,
right?
But if she's gonna be a 10, and a 1 is gonna be a standard Democrat, like a 6 will be like a 6 will be president in the next 10 years.
Yeah, for
and,
real.
But that moves everyone. Similar to how Bernie moved the Democratic Party further to the left
by sheepdogging.
AOC,
by sheepdogging for them, by carrying water for them.
I'm not gonna.
Inadvertently. That's why
he didn't open. He didn't.
Oh, he decides to run again as a Democrat when he knows that if he ran as an independent, people would be behind him 100%.
But then he'd have to run it. But then he'd have to run against the president of the United States, which, by the way, is already the hardest thing you could ever do politically.
He beat him in every poll, single poll.
Yeah, but polls don't matter. Votes matter.
I can't. You have to throw polls out every time. Like,
And he beat her. The woman who shan't be named in the last primaries, but you know most of the time there was election fraud and that got in the way.
If you haven't seen the Trump documentary that Michael Moore made, that's on Amazon Prime, that's a great thing to watch.
Also, why did he vote for her then if he was like getting fucked?
Because he thought the whole time when he realized that what was happening to him, and I think that's what Biden.
No, I'm talking about like Michael Moore. If you're gonna make a movie about that, like. Because you know,
he
didn't back it up. Because
Trump is
that's not enough. That's not enough for somebody to say, "Oh, he's bad, so you got to vote for this person who's not as bad."
Yeah, no.
The anything
blue thing is the most
bullshit.
Insidious
it's
political
gaslighting.
Maneuver. It's so that's how you get a real despot. Like Trump might be a moron, maybe, but he's not a true dictator. Like you get dictatorship and you get tyranny and you get I can't remember the word, but you get. True fascism when you just vote for somebody because they're not something else and like not because of their substance, not because of their thing, but just because they're not this guy. And so like that way you can put anything in. You can put anybody in. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, just vote blue. Like, no, vote.
To be fair, I'm not saying just vote blue. I'm saying that Hillary Clinton was the most qualified
but she's a qualified war criminal. So some people had a problem with that.
It's
you know
and she
but she was already running
he
for
wasn't yet so
but the choice was between someone who say we like we all thought
there was no choice
we all thought a Trump candidacy
just a
we
binary
all thought,
choice.
We all thought Trump's candidacy was a joke.
I didn't think of it.
I didn't
but well hear me out like a lot of us thought Trump's candidacy was a joke but you're right looking back what we did know is everything that man says if he gets the opportunity to he actually does. And
but
he said some terrible shit.
She did
into.
Some terrible shit. And she didn't. She got away with it pretty much. Like a lot of other people before her, like David Petraeus gets away with all this shit. And he gets to go to Bilderberg meetings now and like and handle policy.
Yeah, Bilderberg.
Bilderberg. I also heard Bilderberg.
Yeah. Bilderberg.
Oh, Bilderberg.
But, I
Bilderberg.
Know it was something
and,
like Bilderberg.
And where Mike Pompeo actually stepped in and went to the Shilan Castle on the little USS Kissinger boat. With Kissinger and all the cronies. And Jared Kushner was there as well. And they were affecting policy in private in Switzerland. So
well,
it's
think,
just
I,
like...
And I think Hillary...
Shit's going to keep happening.
...became reviled because of what she did to Bernie. And I think that... Because you're right. Bernie had a lot of popular...
I already reviled her for the Obama
mess. Well, I know, I'm talking about you, but... You know, I think people... I think that's why people voted Trump.
She's
because
racist.
Because my opinion was like, I'm either going to vote for Trump or Bernie. I'm not going to vote for her. Because I don't like what they're doing to Bernie Sanders. Like, I think they're building him up to steal his votes. Because there was never any...
And money.
And his money. Because like I was going to say earlier, Elizabeth Warren, I subscribed to her newsletter and she always sends out things for money, right? And it's like, send me $3. Cool. But then the DNC sends something else saying, oh, Elizabeth Warren wants you to send money, but not to her, to the DNC. And they're like, that's just for our fair thing, like our fair vote, fair funding thing. And I'm like,
no, thank you.
I'll send it directly to her, thank you very much. Like, I'm no interest in sending
it
to you guys.
It goes the same place. That's the problem with Act Blue.
But I know that money's
thing.
Not going to go to her. I know it's not. Because and that's why Bernie runs as a Democrat, because he can't afford to run on his own as an independent if he gets the nomination for the general election. That's why Trump runs as a Republican. Because let me tell you what, Trump would have run as an independent if he could have. If he thought he could afford to do it, I think he would have done it. And I think, or he would have run as a Democrat.
Nobody
he would have run
that
as
a
Democrat.
Because
he's
been everything.
Yeah, he's been everything. Mm-hmm. But he ran for the GOP because he knew they were vulnerable, he knew they had money, he knew he could win the nomination. I think he knew that the whole time. Like, he's like, I can't, these guys are splitting their votes up too much. That's a good thing the Republicans are good at, is that they're good at uniting and mobilizing together under one banner, and the Democrats can't do that. They're constantly fighting about what's right, and it's like, what's the disarray here? Now, I think in 2024, we're going to see a Democratic.
If we're still alive, which I hope
we
will.
We'll be fine.
We're as fine as we were.
People are going, Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland is selling out every fucking day. We're doing fine, okay? Like, everybody's there every day. My Facebook
asteroids
feed,
nearly miss
there.
Us a lot of the time.
Yeah, no asteroid.
To be fair, I was always on record as hating the two-party system.
Okay.
I would much rather we all, like, and I had a grand plan by the end of Obama's first term. Was like, if Obama truly wanted true landscape change, he'd run as an independent, as a sitting president. Because that's how you destroy the two-party system.
Sutherland.
Yeah, but he was already a part of the system at that point.
He could have stood above. Like, he could have stood above
Nobel Peace Prize winning.
Well, and bulletproof 100%. Like, how do you criticize a black president? Like, you can't.
A sitting black president, like a
he's
sitting
gonna
you
deport
can free
if
black
he's gonna
president.
Deport, he's going to deport people and put them in prison camps. And,
dude literally had more deportations than.
Not
Bush.
Only did he have that, but he sent 1,100 kids into child trafficking with
yes.
his immigration policies.
And they called him deporter in chief. That
well,
was
not intentionally,
thing.
But through neglect. And it's mm-hmm. like the people are ragging on Trump, but it's like.
Yeah.
These kids, at least they're someplace. Like, and people keep coming and flowing in. They're like, "There's no crisis." I'm like, "You tell me there's no fucking
there
crisis."
Is.
Thousands of people are coming over the border every day.
How are we
going no
to feed
them?
How are we going to give them
well,
healthcare? How are we going to give every fucking person who comes in this country healthcare when we can't even afford it?
Tax people that have money for it.
Oh yeah, tax everybody. That's the
no, just
solution
tax. Like Elizabeth Warren's
yeah.
idea is great. Like,
I don't agree.
2 cents on every dollar over $10 million.
Taxes isn't needed. We need to defund most of the military. Fund.
Well,
we
can't
know,
do that because the rest.
The
world doesn't work that way.
Trillions of dollars.
We disarm.
Used on bombs, which is bad for the environment.
Also
will help with
matters.
Climate change. But whatever.
But none of that matters because we disarm. Someone steps in and take what we have, and that's just how it's going to work. Because we can talk about peace all we want. The rest of the world is not peaceful. The rest of the world is.
Gee, I wonder why.
Because they
maybe
want
all the coups.
They want what we have. So
nobody
they,
wants what the fuck this place has.
Oh yeah, they do. We have a whole middle ground of fertile land that we can farm and use.
And
we have,
you know,
we have
GMOs everywhere.
We have resources that
fluoride
everybody wants. We have people that work that are just slaves to the working system that will work.
We
hard
outsource we outsource slavery.
Exactly,
in,
but we have that. We have that power.
Africa.
We want that power. So they're gonna take it. Like, one of my theories is that we don't get invaded by a foreign power because everybody on the planet thinks every American has a gun. And it's like that's why it's important that we protect our gun rights, because that's what keeps.
How is Elizabeth Warren gonna protect your gun rights?
Well, I don't care about my gun rights. I don't own a gun. But,
okay.
But like Bernie Sanders, like he has a logical take on gun rights, where it's like some people just need guns. Like, this is how it works. Like, some people hunt, some people protect their property from other people. You know, he lives in rural Vermont where he did, and he's like, you know, there are people here that need those guns for protection. I don't tell you.
They smear
rifles.
Him all the time
to
on
be,
that
well,
shit.
Oh,
although
that,
to be fair. No Democrat, and correct me if I'm wrong, no Democratic presidential nominee has ever put forth a plan that says, we're going to take your gun.
No.
Like,
that's
I had a problem,
one of those, like,
I had a problem
smears.
With, but I had a problem with one of those questions last week, where, like, what are you going to tell to a middle American who wants their guns, wants to keep their guns, and wants to have their guns?
That's
like, what are you going to tell
that?
And, like, and no one took the question, no one, because... That looked like a softball to me as someone who's really good at arguing, which is like, oh, I get to completely deface your question in one sentence
yeah.
and then use the rest of my time to say whatever the fuck
yeah.
I want. And no one took that opportunity to say, well, in the history of gun policy, no one has ever, in the last 20 years, ever proposed, let alone passed, anything remotely to what you said everyone's concern is.
Yeah.
Everyone's concern is ill-founded because no one's actually coming for your guns.
The problem
because
is...
Because most Americans do have... Like, it's a perception because it's a reality. There's 1.2 guns per capita, per person. Like, per American citizen, there's 1.2 guns, if not two. So, like, that perception is true.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why people wouldn't invade, but it's... But in reality, like, no one's trying to take those. That's,
no.
that's
and they
a
can't,
fool's
they
errand.
Can't. They can't because it's a Second
they
Amendment
can't,
right.
Exactly.
And that's what people are like,
but,
how can they do this? How can they do that? I'm like, because, well, how come they can do this with abortion, but they can't do it with guns? And I'm like, because there's no constitutional right to an abortion. Like, sad enough for them, but there is no right to it. There's a right to own an arm, to own a firearm. Now, I think Governor Newsom is doing something weird and taxing the ammunition the way he is, and starting that tomorrow, starting that ammo tax,
oh,
which is interesting. But all it did was cause people to hoard ammo. So it's like,
well,
you know, they're all going to have it anyway. And still have the guns, and you can make bullets. Like, it's not, you know, it's not even making bullets, but I think that's an interesting step forward. And I don't like a lot of stuff he's doing right now, but
the main
you're bursting over
the
here.
Main problem.
Oh my god,
that these freaking conservatives who always get up in arms every time there's a shooting and they're like, oh, they're going to take our guns. The main problem is the security.
Yes?
I forgot what it was called. Industrial. Security industrial complex, where that's what they're going after. They're going to increase security measures in every single aspect of our lives and biometric data, that sort of thing. Racial, facial recognition, sometimes racial recognition, depending. But, you know, that's what the whole plan is.
Fine.
It's not taking away guns. It's going to be security every fucking where.
Yeah.
Surveillance all the
not
time.
A problem with that.
24/7, just like in China, and the social credit system that's going on
there
is going to come
here.
Well,
England as well. England has the same surveillance culture. And they look what they do when something happens there. They easily catch people.
Yes, but in China, they put your like worst moments on national TV and say, hey, don't do that, and we're going to give you a demerit on your credit or something like that. Like, they move you down.
Yeah, I don't want
and then
do.
They eventually ban you from taking public transportation and flights, and it's fucked up.
I don't think China's a good role model.
So I think,
I think we America knows China's not a good role model. So I don't
but
think
the
we're
thing
gonna,
is, the people
like
at the top who are making the decisions work with China. So
we're already doing a version of nosedive now with just public shaming in general.
Like, I know that's
because
that's
people like to,
our version of it.
Because our version of that is public shaming, which is something that always frustrated
me. People lose
and
jobs,
like,
they lose careers.
People lose their whole lives because
of allegations.
Even if it's beyond allegations.
Or fake news.
Even if it's
things.
Beyond allegations, even if it's a baseless claim, even if you did that shit. Let's say I did some shit in 1998 that was terrible by today's standards. It might have been terrible by 1998 standards. But everyone found out about it in 2019. The thing is, the people who care about me and what I'm up to, which is not a very large group... I might lose some of those people, as I should most of those people, because they're like, oh, I can't fathom that he could have ever done that. And a lot of them will stick by me, especially if I come out and say, I did that, I was wrong, I've grown, that's not who I am currently, which is the only thing that matters, who I am currently, who you think I'm going to be, my connection to you, and we can move past that. The problem with public shaming is the 20,000 people that follow me on Twitter aren't the people making that choice. It's the 2 million people who decide to dunk on me.
Yes.
Having never heard about me before that moment.
Right.
Who wake up to a certain extent every morning wanting to dunk on some asshole who said something in 1999.
What?
It's a that is a huge problem. And especially if... And I'm giving you an example of when... Yeah, I did that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I've moved on. I'm a different person.
It doesn't
I've apologized. I've rectified the situation. But the situation now is you want to dunk on me. That's the situation.
Yeah. That's how I see the Biden thing with him and the busing, where it's like, oh, you work with these white segregation. Like, it was 1970. Like, that's all there were those guys. Like, what are you going to do? Like, if I have to work with somebody and there's only white racist males to work with, I have no choice.
People just don't use logic.
He made a gaffe using that as an example, though. He could have used any other example politically that he worked with that senator, but on a tax bill that had nothing to do with a hot button issue. Like, he's playing a political game right now. It's not an actual legislative game. So he could have picked a better, like, that topic was fair game for Kamala Harris.
Well, he could
because
he could be setting
her
up too.
True, but he could, like, for people saying like, oh, we should just really be unifying, and I'm like, you're right. However, there are 25 candidates. We'll unify after Iowa. It works out.
Do you ever think, why are there 25 candidates or whatever when there was only like 6 tops the last time around?
Because
and then we already had the candidate we wanted,
because
and then she was thrown out there.
Why
do people not learn from this?
The closest we'll ever see to... We didn't... Because most people, the narrative they see is that Trump used foreign influence to overcome people. It's not proven, like, but
the memes and stuff.
But like the overarching thought among most Americans of how Trump.
I don't know about most Americans. You're gonna have to cite a survey.
But the overarching, and you're right, niche groups makes it hard. But like the one through line, as I understand it, if you were to ask people how Trump won, they would tell you that, well, he speaks to a large swath of the population.
Right.
And there was some type of malfeasance, some type of interference, some type of garbage that allowed him to win the electoral vote but not the popular vote. That's how most people will see it.
Which is technically true, because there has been evidence to that.
I happen to agree that we as Democrats didn't come off very strong by having a ridiculously fraught primary heading all the way into him,
which
already
was already
being
full of
crowned.
Election fraud.
And I don't want to get into that part, but I do think we were pretty divided heading into Hillary.
I think they should have done something about the hackable voting machines before they got into
and I think that,
this election.
But the problem is
they kept
people
warning people about
the problem
it
is
before.
The standard narrative is not that the Democratic Party was divided heading into an election against who we thought was a clown and could have lost and was going to
for
be
a long
easy
time. People thought Ted Cruz had a good shot, though.
True, but like, well,
who was also in the DNC email?
That was also in the not upside
Pied
down.
Piper.
Those in the not upside down we live in now.
Mm-hmm.
He was an accident. Like everything, and this is why I do enjoy following this race. Just like objectively, just like acting as if none of it actually happened. Like I do.
Well, none of it
is,
matters.
I mean, it all matters. Like everything's nothing.
It's political theater.
But hear me out. It's political theater, but it's a play we've never seen. Before Trump, we'd always seen that play. After Trump, we're in the upside down. Nothing makes sense. The word electability means nothing. You can throw the polls out the window. You could see
nothing
a picture
matters
of someone doing something. And
it's
your immediate thought is to say that it's not true, like nothing.
There've been
that's
weird
positive
candidates before,
way long. Well,
like
Aradia
ago
lost Pro.
I think that's positive. But to get back to your question as to why there are 25 candidates running when that weakened the Democratic Party last time against this exact same candidate, the answer is those 25 candidates don't think that Bernie Hillary broke the Democratic Party like it probably did. What those candidates think is, well, this is the age of activism. No one can do it better than me. And if Trump can get elected, why not me?
And that's exactly
and that's right. Not the worst way to think.
That's exactly
like,
but now everybody's like,
that's okay, but that's going to happen because people are going to jump on a trend and people are going to try.
I'm not 35
yet. It shouldn't
yet,
be
I don't
a
run
trend
yeah
to want to be the president.
Well, no,
but
it is. But it is because now Trump, which again, one of the weird indirect positive bounces of Trump is like the idea that anybody could be president has come back.
Yeah,
like
but
before,
that shouldn't tell you that there's a reason that anybody can be president because they're not really doing anything.
Well, but that can change. Like, that can change.
That there are people
there,
behind
you're, what you're talking about, and I agree with you, is that there is a machine that runs
like
through
John
these
Bolton
things. But that's only part of it. Like, there are people that subscribe to this machine, but there are also people that are trying to throw that monkey wrench in there that can't
the system from within the system. So
yeah,
I don't
no,
understand.
You can, but
there
you can. You can if you do it right and you get enough people
like
behind you.
Like Bernie did.
Like Bernie
did.
I think Ocasio-Cortez has the idea to do that. Like, I think
she has
the
a lot
idea
of ideas.
And that's good. That's good. Ideas is what you want. You want people to try and err, especially when she's not old enough to run for president and she's kind of a neophyte and she's a new kind of thing.
And
like,
she's wrong sometimes. And
that's okay. But that's
admit
all right. That's okay. Because she has now is when she should be wrong. Now is when she should
in Congress?
Yes.
Versus
okay
versus in present versus
because even if she was right, she still as a new representative wouldn't have a lot of clout to do things. But to make the mistakes and to own up to and be like, I fucked up, or to make the mistakes bald faced and be like, okay, well, we're moving on to the next thing. You know, to be
but
transparent.
But when you're calling other people like racists or you know,
well,
certain
but that's
terms
the, that's,
like Nazis when they attack your policies.
That's, but that's the youth.
That's
the
really
youth
fucking
of it
annoying.
But
and
that's,
it's
that's
the thing that's going to keep him elected.
Yeah, but that's the youth. And he's already going to win. Like, just like people, he's already going to win. There's
yeah
no way he's going to lose.
Okay.
It's something really, like, he'd have to get killed or something for him to lose. Like,
well,
there's no way.
He could
like
plan something after he wins.
Well, he can't lose right now. Like, there's just too much. But 2024 is a whole different ballgame. Like, because he's not going to be able to run again, and there's going to be these 25 Democrats are going to be down to 15. There'll be other people coming in, and you're going to see a Democratic president. Now, the decision is
one of those Parkland kids might be 35.
Yeah, and might want to try
it.
Try
don't
and
remember,
no,
don't remind
them
me of them. Oh.
You know, and they want to try it. Because I've been watching the thing right now, watching these debates, like the Pete Buttigieg. He has a good shot 2024. Like, he really, like, right now he is, I mean, you laugh, but that's the face of the new presidential candidate right there. Gay, well-learned. But yeah, it ticks all the boxes. But at the same time, he is a genuinely smart person. Like, he's not faking
it. There are a lot of smart people. They don't need to be president.
Well, but he wants to be president. Like, this is what he wants to do.
Whoever wants to be president can just go.
Yes,
be
absolutely.
President.
Yeah, why not? That's the whole thing. That's America's fucking whole deal. Like, if you want to be it, you want to dream it, you can be it. Like, that's the whole thing of America.
That's a fake.
Well, it has come to that. Yes, because of the way the system and the machine works.
They're selected. They're not elected.
But we can. That can change. That can actually change.
How? With no election reform. There's no.
But it has to start someplace.
Reform.
Someone like a Pete Buttigieg could start reform like that.
But he's not. He's not
talking about it. But he could. Well,
nobody's talking about Broward County and the election fraud there and the Tim Canova election.
Because if you make the changes
Debbie
they want
Wasserman
to make,
if they
adjust the Electoral College system, that's something you can do. If you adjust the popular voting system,
that's
you
not
can
the
do.
Same as electoral reform, which
but
is
you can't,
actual.
You can't just do that. Like you
getting
have to,
rid of the problems which are
yeah
the
but
machines.
you can't just do that. You have to phase things in because there's
but
still,
you should talk about
there's
it
still a large contingent of people who want the automated voting, and there's still a large contingent of people who want paper voting. Like you that's just you're never going to change that because some people just think one thing is better than the other, and I personally think that electronic voting's where it's at, but you have to really secure it, and people
but
are
not secure. That's
well
the
that's
problem.
The thing
that's
because there are
that's
there
what
are still,
they need to talk about
because there are still elements in play that are part of that old machine that control these voting machines, and they are still going to try to cheat. If you can give people an opportunity to cheat, they're going to cheat. That's just people are scum. That's what they're going to
do. Well, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts.
Well, it's not even absolute power. Even a little bit of power corrupts, right? So
I know a little bit takes a little
bit.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be absolute. It could just be the power of making these voting machines. Like you don't have power to actually do anything, but you could make these machines. But then you have a 13-year-old kid who hacks them and be like, you guys are fucking up, right? Or 8-year-old kid that hacks these machines. And that takes time. It takes time to root those people out and to change them.
But they're not doing that.
Well, but
media
isn't assisting either. You can't have it that way. That's not how it works. Social media and advertising have tricked us into thinking things happen overnight, and they don't. Things take 25, 30 years.
They're not happening at all. That's
the problem. But no, they're happening slowly, but you don't see that. You want to see the results right now. It's like global warming. Like global warming, this climate
let's not get into that. We have to wrap everything
this
up.
This climate change has been happening for hundreds of years. Okay? You're able to predict these things in the fossil record. You're able to see these things coming down the line. But now we're starting to see them happening. They've been happening gradually over 100 years over geologic timescale.
It's been talked about for many
decades. Right.
They
thought they were having an ice age in the 70s. Okay? Like this is what they were thinking. But
and
now,
Shell knew everything. Then,
right.
Too.
But now, that doesn't matter. But now it's happening. So people are jumping on it. And it's like the old time.
But now it's being politicized.
Well, it's like an old science fiction movie where like people go back in time to like Mayan days and they're about to be killed and sacrificed. And the scientist is like, there's an eclipse today. Watch this. Let my friends go. I'll take the sun away. And then here it comes. Mm-hmm. It just happened to be happening that day. But he uses it to get his friends out of trouble. And I think the climate change has been happening this whole time. But now the results are tangibly evident. So people are like, oh, no, we need to make this a hot-button issue. We need to make some money off this shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what they do.
Corporatization.
But I look at it like, if the ice caps are melting, first of all, capture that water and bottle it up. Like, well, I don't know why people aren't doing that shit. And secondly, it's making new land for people to live. Like, it's making room for people to go there. And yeah, there are some places that are going to change climate-wise, but they've changed over time. The Sahara used to be
it's
a jungle.
Erosion, too.
Right, but people are jumping on it. And they've been trying to do this since the Al Gore days, like trying to get ahead of that and be like, okay, this is how we monetize this thing. Like we're gonna, capture the water and we're gonna keep it for ourselves.
What they're doing now with like veganism, they're tying that into the whole fucking political
climate change
thing.
So you don't think the NATO report that says we have 5 years to fix it?
I think NATO's in trouble and they want money. And I
they're
think that,
I don't believe that we have 5 years to fix it. I think scientists are saying we need to make drastic changes in the next 5 years, or we will reach a point of no return.
Well, I think,
like,
I think
that's
I,
not our
I,
fault, though.
But I believe some, like,
we've gotten this.
Well,
this
I, and but the problem with that report is that the news media comes out and says, "Well, you should stop. Everybody should stop using single-use plastic and only take one shower a week." And it's like, no, you should go after the actual polluters. The average person
and
isn't
the bomb
an actual
makers.
Polluter. Or you should try.
Really
you should try
up.
Now to learn to adapt to the change that's coming. And that's what people aren't preparing. They're fearing, and they're not preparing.
If you believe all the scientists, the change that's coming is that our Earth will become like the parts of the Earth that we're currently on will become unlivable. So
no,
by adapting the change you're coming, do you mean by condos in Nevada because the coastline will shrink?
But there's nothing science can't tackle. So like people live in Israel for fuck's sake. Like that's in the middle of fucking desert. Like if they can do it there, they can do it anywhere. So I mean, we can do that stuff. Like, we can make a seed that grows in very little water and that grows nutrients for us. Like, we can do that.
They
if people
stop
fucking complaining about it, they could do it.
Floating cities for
you know,
these
they could,
elites.
They could, we could jump ahead of it instead of saying, what causes this? Let's stop it. You're not stopping it. It's already going to happen. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. 10 years ago, they were saying we had 5 years left. So it's like,
yeah.
It's not going to stop. So if it's not going to stop, prepare for it. Don't just sit there and whine about who did it or this or that or trying to make money off of the cause.
Yes.
Address the result. And so we can make a city in the desert that people can live in. We have it here, right? The whole San Fernando Valley
mm-hmm.
is that.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do it. It can happen, right? It's just that people would rather be afraid than be proactive. And that's the thing. It's like they jump on Trump for using fear, but the liberals use fear just as much as anybody else does.
They're using
right?
it throughout the entire
The GOP campaign. Had the terrorists, in every basket, and the liberals have global warming and climate change.
And
like,
white supremacists.
And,
they,
and,
oh my
and
gosh,
everybody's,
we gotta
yeah,
be
oh
worried
God.
About all these white supremacists.
Oh my God,
there's
every
thousands
Republican,
of white supremacists.
Every
they're
Republican
all
is a racist.
Nazis.
If you know anybody who's a Republican,
oh my gosh,
racist.
Throw
like,
a milkshake on him with some dry,
yeah, and
quick
do
dry
this. Like, let's have the new trend happen and like punch him in the face. It's like, well,
he's not a journalist. It's okay.
Yeah, if you're gonna punch him in the face,
in what
be prepared A to be punched back. Okay, B be prepared to take the consequence for punching someone in the face. Like, I'm cool punching Nazis. I don't have a problem with that. But you're gonna go to jail for punching someone in the fucking face. Like,
yeah.
You if that's the price of activism, sometimes it's the loss of your freedom. And that's how you know a true activist from a fake activist is that they're not afraid
yes.
to go out there and lose their freedom over something that they're doing or their lives even to do something like the girl that got killed, the sad girl that got killed from the white supremacist. The people are like, she's a martyr. I'm like, she had no clue she was dying that day. She did not. If someone told her you're gonna die if you go today, she would stay at home and fucking play Nintendo. She would never have gone out there. I said, so don't do that because there are people who go out there and risk their lives and their freedom every fucking day to get their point across, and they're not getting the videos of these people. They're not
like
getting
Luis Alvarez died recently.
Right,
who
a
first
responder.
First responder.
And I mean, those motherfuckers are heroes. Like, they're heroes.
And they're getting fucked.
And they're getting fucked hard. And it's like, that to me is a real issue. That's a real mm-hmm. issue because those people are really sick. They, in regards of what the causes of 9/11 are, they responded, they ran in there, they helped those
did
people,
their fucking job.
They breathed in that shit, they like, they did, even if it weren't their job, even if it was just somebody who was like if I was there, I would have went in there and helped those people.
Yeah, there
like,
were plenty of witnesses who just
right,
ran.
Who just ran away, and it's like, that's what they do, and it's like, to shaft them like that is just fucking terrible. It's terrible. But those are the real issues, to me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things people argue about, I mean, as tragic and horrible as they are, to me, aren't issues that do really do much of anything. You know, like,
yeah.
like, so when I look at people like, I mean, again, this is hot button, but like, you look at the abortion issue.
Right.
I look at that and say, well, you know, is that creating jobs for us? Is that making people feel secure? Like, if we legalized abortion across the board, how does that help somebody who doesn't have a job? Like, how is it? Because the economy, right? It's the economy is stupid. That's the biggest mantra of the past 30, 40 years.
I'll answer your question, though.
Sure.
Like, I would consider that full healthcare to everyone, partially.
Fair enough.
Like, meaning if mm-hmm. someone gets pregnant and they can't get an abortion, they have to have that child. They now have to work the first job they take and probably work a bunch of jobs, and that child winds up on, like, if you're talking about the economy, that child and possibly that mother winds up on some form of social service. And I'm not saying everybody should get abortions. Like, my problem is the people who think abortions are terrible should be on the same side as the people who think abortions should be plentiful, which
right.
is, well, let's put all the money into education so that people...
I agree.
So that people understand safe sex so they don't get pregnant.
Right.
So that then they don't have abortions if they need abort. Like,
yeah,
because
I'm
you can have
mom,
you
so.
Can have net abortions go down if you just do more sex education. But they'd rather vilify... They'd rather vilify doctors.
Also, they don't really seem to consider rape and incest as...
Well, it's a...
There's
well, it's
some
a
people
whole,
who don't even want to consider...
It's a whole sexism thing. But, like, to back to your point, economically, more abortion... There are more jobs for more people doing more abortions, but there's also more people being productive members of society because they had the opportunity to have or not have a child.
No, I agree with you on that. And I
like, to bring it down to, like... With the economics of it of that issue, and I also think it's a wedge issue. If you look at the polls, which I know we're supposed to throw out all the polls, but most polls dating back before the Upside Down, when polls were reliable, most people agreed that a woman has the right to an abortion.
No, and I agree with that.
And The only difference is the people who don't agree are so vocal and ready to fight you in the street about it that one side understands that that's an issue that'll get us to fight in the street and not talk about the fact that 9/11 first responders are just dying and no one's doing anything.
No, and that's it.
That's the problem.
Most people would agree that abortions should be between the hospital and the woman, not to do with the government at all. The
Constitution still believes that.
And that's where the thing is.
Like, that's the thing. Like, no matter how you feel about abortion, I don't care what kind of role you have in government, you don't have the right at all to say who lives or dies in any given circumstance.
Well, in this, you know, the for me, the crux of the abortion issue is that we that people, they're okay. So, like in the Middle East, you have the mullahs, right? And they
because
this is the point is that you have people who are controlling everything and then you have the fanatics,
right?
And it's like these guys, the mullahs, like I remember when they would go through and raid their places, like they had like gold toilets and shit, like Rolls Royces, like they had all the stuff they would deny their religious followers and pretending to be religious guys.
Yeah,
so you have the same sort of army marching for the abortion thing where it's like you have this Christian value saying God says don't, you know, kill the kid, although he didn't care really, but you know, okay, God says don't kill a kid, but those people that are making that judgment don't care. Like they're not really in it for the Christian thing. They want more Americans, and that's the thing, is they don't want the population to go down. They want more babies, more Americans for the military, for labor. Like they want that stuff, and so that's the basis of it. And then they use religion as like the veneer of it to get people to blow themselves up in the street.
I would also argue that's economic subjugation. We're gonna defund anything that tells you what sex is and how you could get pregnant, and then once you do get pregnant, we're gonna blame you as if it's your problem, and one of the options that used to be available to you is no longer available.
Well, they're gonna federally defund it. The states can still fund it if they want to, and if you don't, then you can go someplace where they do, and that's the thing is like, for me, that's the Republican thing is like the states need to control everything. We don't want the federal government to control everything. So it's like, you know, like the Meals on Wheels thing, the big Meals on Wheels, and no one's using money for fucking Meals on Wheels. But at the same time, Trump is like, if you want that, pay for it. California, if you want that, you pay for it. We're not going to pay for it anymore. We have other things to make to spend money on. Like, the states need to control their shit. We're not going to federally lift the prohibition on marijuana, but if you want to do it as a state, fucking go for it. Mm-hmm. Just we're not going to take the time to enforce it as a federal government. That's what Obama was saying, right? We're not going to take the time to enforce that shit as a federal government. We've got other things to do. So if you guys want to legalize in California, fucking go do it. But it's still going to be illegal on a federal level, but we're not going to do anything about it, really. We're not going to enforce it. I mean, Trump's guys are trying, but again, another distraction issue where it's like, no one's really going to fucking care. Like, no one really cares about weed. Like, there are other things to worry about with that stuff.
Also, no one's overturning Roe v. Wade anytime soon.
That's like the silliest thing ever, because
it's a fear monger.
There are certain things where, like, I look at stuff like, I don't know, people were talking about segregation of gays, for example. And they're like, oh, the concentration camps, and all blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, I'll tell you what. The first time I see American citizens in prison in a camp for who they are, I will pick up a fucking gun and go down there. I was like, I will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that's bad.
Yeah, like, that's what will spur me into activism. And I do think under Trump versus any other president in my lifetime, I felt closest to that thought of, I'm going to go do something.
Yeah, and that's fucking awesome. That is so great that people do that.
My comparison when he got elected was, we've been comparing him to Darth Vader this whole time. I hope he's ultimately Darth Vader in the sense that he brings balance out.
Sorry.
No, because he's not killing him.
Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker, the prophecy said he would bring balance to the Force.
Right.
And then he became Darth... He turned bad and became Darth Vader and killed a lot of motherfuckers who were in the Force. But at the very end of the story, spoilers to Star Wars, he ultimately brought balance to the Force.
The actual end that we're at now?
No, but like the end of Star Wars. Yeah, but he brought balance to the Force as it was understood at the end of the sixth
movie. I learned that from
movie.
The Saga Begins by Because
he ultimately did, like, and I think it's something to be said that Donald Trump will ultimately change politics forever, and then he becomes president, and you're like, what? They were wrong. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. But then at the
end,
people
are looking
he actually spurns so much more activism than a Hillary or a Bernie
more
presidency
than
ever could
ever have.
Well, I wish that would translate to war protests, because so far it's just been about very little segments of society.
But like, but that's what our society has become with the internet to begin with, that we're all very niche.
We're
all niche and isolated in our own bubbles, but if a lot of our bubbles a lot of the bubbles are actually Venn diagramming more than they're not Venn diagramming.
I know, that's why it's sad to not see us all working together for a common goal, and instead of calling
each
other
Nazis.
Yeah,
but then
an activist needs to make that bubble that encompasses all the other bubbles to get everyone on one page and
really
work together.
I think certain people on the internet are trying to do some good things, like Jimmy Dore has his show that reaches out to all kinds of different people. He had Ron Paul on, he had...
I do want to make
England.
It clear that like whenever I hear someone just Trump bash, or especially like Trump voter bash, like I need to go out of my way to say like, but how do Democrats, how does the left side, how do the people who feel you feel,
yeah.
feel
that,
how you feel, and you right now feel so far away from
and
that
do you
person.
Know Jimmy Dore? Do you know that?
I'm familiar.
That's
what
he does.
I met him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really cool.
Oh, okay. Like you reach people, you reach people where they are, and like there aren't as many people. Trying to reach people where they are now.
James
Corbett. I wish there should be. I think he's on CBS. I don't think.
No, James Corbett. No.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Not Corbett.
Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to tell me that James Corden was political at all, and I'm like,
no, James
that
Corbett.
Is,
no.
That is shocking. He hosted the Tonys.
No.
Harpo Karaoke is really a Russian fan.
His battle line is clearly, we know what side of the battle line he's
on. TheCorbettReport.com.
Okay.
I'm going to shout out
that. Things. She like watches YouTube incessantly and watches all these great.
Well, I watch a lot of great documentaries about the past. And they're not based on conspiracy theories. They're actually based on fact.
I found the wrestling bubble is what I did. And then I just started running. Like, on average, I make about 100 clips out of
Oh, I noticed
you
got verified, too.
I did get verified. That is a thing I did back when you could apply.
I tried that. It didn't happen.
I told myself
you have to not get kicked off every 5 minutes too.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I pissed off the CIA a couple of times.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you tag them or did you actually?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
they don't like the
kept me from getting into my account while I was typing. They were like, nope, because they were seeing it right when it was being typed.
We're gonna talk about that once the microphone's
12
off.
12 hours. I'm on lockdown.
Right now?
And then I did learn to code and to see if it was true what they were saying, the right-wing people, about being like shut down on the learn to code thing. And then it turned out, yep.
Did you screenshot it?
Yeah, I did. And I put it on Twitter and everything.
We're going to talk on the microphone.
Yeah. We got to wrap it up.
Yeah,
soon.
I know.
Yeah.
But
this is a great anniversary episode.
This is exactly what the show is now.
Yes.
We start talking about fun stuff and end up talking about Trump.
Super.
That's what I worried. Yeah, like, I'm not worried. That's what I wondered would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to avoid it completely, or is it just going
to
naturally flow?
We have to talk about the elephants in the room, no matter how
the GOP
annoying they are.
That
was a good joke, I thought.
It was pretty good.
Okay, good.
The elephant in the ass.
That was fun.
All right. So plugs. Let's plug it in. Plug it in.
I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUFMANN. I'm a wrestling pundit who runs YouTube pages for most of your favorite pro wrestling superstars who would probably want me to keep their name out of keep their name out of my mouth on this podcast.
Aw, that's nice.
No one's going to hear it.
I know. Like two people are
going to download
it. It'll be you and you. And me. No, three.
I got a job from somebody,
ooh,
and I don't know who it is.
Okay.
Like someone texted me, hey, buddy, want a job? Like, sure. And I did. I completed the job.
What do you got?
I wish I could get a scam call.
Yeah, and
like
I completed
that.
The job. I got it done, and then I sent the stuff to the person that sent me the email for it. And I'm like, I don't even know who it is. I sent me the job. And I kept trying, but I didn't. I was like, okay, I see the last text from them is December 15th or December 21st, 2015. Okay, it's the last text I got from them. So I looked at my email from that time, and there's nothing. So I'm like, okay, so I don't know that. And by this point, it's too late to ask who it is because I'm like already taking the job.
You already did the job?
It's done, yeah.
It?
Yeah,
so like,
they referred me to their client. And
what's the job?
Oh, I made, do you know the show, the movie Endless Summer?
I
do you know that movie?
I think I've heard
it's like
of
a
it.
Surf movie.
Science.
Has a very iconic image for its poster. And so this guy wanted me to make it. He has something called, what did I just say? Damn it.
Endless summer
pools.
Pools?
Yeah. So he wanted me to copy the poster.
Oh.
but put like a pool net in the guy's hand and make it like.
Mm. Oh, very cool.
And then originally, like two guys here.
Yeah,
that looks
and
really
so,
cool.
Yeah, so I made that for him, and that nice. Was what he wanted.
Awesome.
$150. I'm like, fuck it, I'll take it.
Oh wow.
So, well, this required some building, and then I did an original version. He wanted just something based on it, so I made like a little. Like a little thing
mm-hmm.
of people that just kind of evokes this the thing.
Yeah, whereas he wanted an actual.
Oh,
yeah, he
yeah.
wanted an actual copy
an
of
actual
the thing.
Remake.
Yeah, so I,
this is wonderful for the audio audience.
I know. It's don't even it doesn't matter
when and if they use it, they'll get to see it.
Yeah, Endless Pools NV is what it's called, Nevada.
Okay.
So there's a plug. It has nothing to do with me. I have no plugs. I don't do anything. World Domination Designs on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll link to it.
Yeah, that's about it. I don't really. Or Earth 2 Comics at Sherman Oaks. There you go. You can go there.
Okay.
Buy comics.
I love that you have like two glasses on.
I have to wear two glasses. Look how it looks too. It's so funny. I have to put the sunglasses on first and my other glasses over it.
Oh, I love
wow.
it.
Because I can't see otherwise.
I had like flip ones.
I had those, but I lost them. And they were like $15. So I was like, I'm not buying them again.
I went to an optometrist in 2006 and had 20/20 vision. So therefore, I still have 20/20 vision.
That's how that works.
That's exactly how that works. Mm-hmm. If you never go back to the optometrist, you still have perfect
vision. My teeth are great.
Same thing.
Exactly.
Okay, I gotta go. All
right.
All right. Thank you guys for listening.
I'm gonna go see Avengers for the 7th time.
We love you guys. Thank you. Bye.